When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now they were staying at Jerusalem, devout Jews, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in its own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all of these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which today is that of the Apostle St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your mind, whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me to say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you will indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the Prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Today we read this exciting account in the Acts of the Apostles about the birth of the Church, the day when the disciples of our Lord finally received in all fullness the strength of the Holy Ghost and these extraordinary graces that allow them to go to all of the parts of the world and spread the good news of salvation to all peoples. So, the day of Pentecost is the birth of the Church. The chief reason of why our Lord did go and ascend to heaven is because of this. It is expedient to you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, said our Lord. The reason of our Lord's ascension, he said to each one of us, I'm not going to leave you alone, I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I will go so the Holy Ghost will come to you. Now you will be baptized, not by John the Baptist as a prefiguration of the baptism for the remission of sins, but you will receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And this, I think, is the main miracle of this third person of the Blessed Trinity. The fact that each one of us, when he is in sanctifying grace, the Holy Ghost dwells, the Blessed Trinity makes an abode in the soul of the just. This is the main miracle that our Lord teaches today in his Gospel. I will come to you, I will live in you. So see how miracle of grace, what a great mystery is this, that the Blessed Trinity makes a temple, a mansion, that indwelling, that guest of the Holy Ghost in our souls.
So that's why St. Paul calls us temples of the Holy Spirit. Why are we talk about the dignity of the body? Because of the fact that we're temples of the Holy Ghost, temples of the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Trinity dwells, receives that indwelling, that divine guest in our souls. What a great mystery. And that is the main thing that we need. At the moment of our baptism, we received that supernatural created grace from that moment. And certainly, none of us today is ignorant of the Holy Ghost. We know well that He is one of the three divine persons who with the Father and the Son constitute the Blessed Trinity. We also know that from the Old English, coming from a German root, it is also called the Holy Ghost. It's also called the Paraclete, which comes from a Greek etymology word for comforter. The Advocate, pleading God's cause with mankind. The Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Love. And lastly, we can say that is maybe the average knowledge that someone may have about the Holy Ghost. And we also know that the Blessed Trinity, that God acts as one person. It is the Blessed Trinity who creates, who redeems, and who sanctifies. However, we know that what one divine person does, all three do. The three divine persons are inseparable. And that is the mystery of faith. But we know that there is an inner life, there is a community of love in the Blessed Trinity. There is an inner life. You know, we usually when we talk about the sacrament of marriage, the Holy Family, there is a Trinity, an inner life, a circle of divine love in the Blessed Trinity, in the divine persons. And we call a propitiation, that means that it's befitting that each person of the Holy Ghost will, each person of the Blessed Trinity will have a special function, will have a special role in the salvation. In the story of salvation. And we know then that the Holy Ghost has as a propitiation the graces of sanctification of the soul, because it's the work of the divine love. And why is that? Because we know that God the Father and God the Son behold each of them the infinite lovableness of the other. And so there flows between them two divine persons a divine love. And it is a love so perfect, of such infinite ardor, as to be a living love. And then we call this love the Holy Spirit. That flowing, that's why we say in the Creed, proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. Even though inseparable, but we have this mission of sanctification. God the Father is the Creator, God the Son the Redeemer, and God the Holy Ghost the one who sanctifies. He appropriates the action of grace and sanctification of the souls, because it's preeminently a work of divine love. How do we have a devotion to the Holy Ghost in our lives? Well, first of all, when we do the sign of the cross, we mention the three divine persons. We do that with devotion, reverence, as we are invoking God the Father, the Son in our hearts, and the Holy Ghost, that dove that came, that symbolism, the dove that came from heaven. And we have this devotion to the Holy Ghost that dwells in us and in a temple. So because of that, we also learn from Scripture that grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. From the epistle to St. Paul to the Ephesians. So what is that? That we need to allow the Holy Ghost to dwell in our souls as in a temple. And because of that, we, every Christian, ought to shine with the splendor of virtue so as to be pleasing to the great and so beneficent a guest that is the Holy Ghost. And who tells that? Those are the words of Leo XIII, who wrote a beautiful encyclical on the Holy Spirit, Divinum Illud Munus, that great gift, the divine gift. So Leo XIII wrote this encyclical, giving a beautiful catechesis of the Holy Spirit. And so he says that we need to live a virtuous life. First of all, with chastity and holiness, for chaste and holy things befit the temple
of God is holy. Therefore, our souls should be holy, without the stain of sin. Therefore, then, the Holy Ghost can make an indwelling place in us. If we are temple of God, then we need to flee from every sin. We need the protection and help of the Holy Ghost, for He is the remission of all sins. When our Lord gives the blowing to the Apostle John 20:20, right? Whatever sins you shall forgive, they will be forgiven. That therefore we ought continually and confidently beg of Him to illuminate us daily more and more with His light and inflame us with His charity. So we pray to the Holy Ghost when we do an examination of conscience. Come, Holy Spirit, come to my soul in order that I can make a good confession. Is such then a miracle, the Holy Trinity, by the action of the Holy Ghost, that makes an abode in us, dwells in us, in our souls. So in order that this life of grace will produce the fruits of the Holy Ghost, we then need to strive to live a virtuous life with chastity and holiness. And then a few words on the sacrament of confirmation that all of you, mostly all of you here, received, and that today this 47 young men and women will receive. What is that confirmation? The confirmation is that what we receive in baptism, that grace that we receive in baptism, at the time of confirmation, with that matter, which is that pure olive oil that is going to seal. See what the words in the gospel says, whereby you are sealed. They are sealed with the Holy Ghost. At the time of baptism, they use the oil of the catechumens and the Holy Chrism. And at the time of the confirmation, the chrism oil is put in the forehead with the sign of the cross. And that grace that they received in baptism is strengthened. So these people now are going to be ready, as the apostles were, to defend their faith, to be strong, mature, and adults in the faith with a strong commitment. And if we receive that grace in confirmation, it could be good for us to know and to see in our lives if we are bearing witness of God's grace as disciples of Christ, and if we are really living the message of the gospel. And how are we living that commitment of confirmation? Those graces that we receive once. Remember, grace, created grace, can happen two things. It can grow or it can wither. So it's up to us to take really advantage of the graces that we have received in all of those sacraments. Let us renew our confirmation promises, our baptismal promises today. Let us pray that the Holy Ghost really will enlighten our minds, will have a really big, a stronger faith, you know, with in the Holy Spirit to enlighten us with His gifts, the seven gifts. If we make those gifts dwell in our hearts, and if we work, that will redound in the fruits, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, that interior peace, that devotion, all of those things. The Holy Ghost has these beautiful fruits of the Holy Spirit that will bear in our souls if we really work, if we really are faithful, and then the grace of God is not going to be in vain. So let us pray today to the Holy Spirit in this day of Pentecost, that pray for the church, let us pray for all of those who are going to be confirmed, 47 candidates, and we will also pray that in our souls we will really increase that devotion to this divine guest in our souls, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in our souls. God bless you.